Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm Bill Shear. Let's welcome everybody watching online, everybody at the pulpit, Skytook, everybody wherever they are. Go ahead and thank them for being here. Man, we're glad you're here. We're honored that you're here. I'll tell you, some of you guys are here because your life was a train wreck and God works that out. I'm welcome the people that have survived the train wreck and now you're, you strike a nerve, you never know. But others of you are here just because it's a new year and you want to, some of you guys had kids and you want to raise your kids and all those things. Listen, no matter why you're here, no matter for whatever reason, I'm telling you, God's going to speak to you today. Do you hear me? Some of you guys will say, well, God didn't speak to me like that. I play the bull card here, all right? God does speak, man, every single time. But the world, listen, man, we're in this world is what the Bible says. That's how it's described. But we're not of it, okay? And being of it means that we fall prey to the concepts, to the philosophies, to the principles. You know, I mean, it hit me. As a church, what we've got to do is we've got to drive our stake in the ground and put our foot down. That we're not going to gossip anymore. We're just not going to. Whether we feel like we should have an opinion, because that's the whole idea of our opinion. Let me just tell you, it's just counterintuitive to the work that God's doing in our life, that we're always expressing our opinion, or this is how I feel. Man, please don't express how you feel all the time. We don't live by how we feel. We don't live by what we see. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, we've got to understand, because the words that we listen to and we receive and the words that we speak, those are the things that stir us up. Man, we get stirred up about things. Man, there'll be times I'll start talking about something and I won't realize how passionate I am about that. And it's interesting, I got a text this morning and a dear friend of mine, a longtime friend and a pastor, has got a family member that was just diagnosed with a few different areas of her body having cancer. And she had cancer previously and had overcome it. Now she's got it. And man, I'll tell you what, I was making a cup of coffee at 6:10 or 6:12 this morning, and I started texting, and I stopped and I read the text and I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, the whole idea of this is the enemy in the world wants us playing defense in our life. Wants us to always be on the defense, always trying to hang on to what we have and not to we begin to live our life not to lose. And that's not how the kingdom is. The kingdom puts us on the offensive. Every one of God's promises, over 7,700 of them that I know of in God's word, puts us on the offense in life. Man, that's why, and it's interesting because the Bible talks about the word of God being offensive. And I always think about that. I think, well, yeah, it's offensive because, man, it bothers people because it counters their philosophy. But it's not just offensive by nature. It's offensive in a battle sense. Man, that we go on the offense. And you know what God's going to give you here is God's going to give you, and there's a football term that when there's a turnover or a takeaway, team's playing defense and they intercept a pass, man, everybody in that sideline starts screaming like their hair's on fire and they start saying, sudden change, sudden change, sudden change. And no matter where anybody is, whether they're getting taped up or they're getting their helmet adjusted or a coach is talking to them, man, they're grabbing their helmet and they're putting it on and they're firing up their chin strap and they're running on the field. Why? There's been sudden change. We've got the ball now. And let me tell you, most of those guys, because football programs are run by men, and men by nature are boys, so you get that sudden change, what do you want to do the very first play when you have the ball in offense? You want to take a shot. You want to go deep. And let me tell you, man, that's what God's going to do for you today. God's going to bring sudden change in your life. And I just want to ask you, what stirs you up? I'll tell you, it's just interesting, and it's well known, and it's funny. The very first time I heard this, probably 20 years ago, it's like, oh, it's absolutely true. But Mike Tyson said, man, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And see, that's what life does. Man, we've all got a plan. 2020 is going to go this way. I'm going to eat like this. I'm going to train every day. And then let me tell you, life happens. But you got to go back to God's word. You got to go back to God's promise. Man, instead of me just texting that friend of mine about the healing provision that God's given us, and you understand, everything in God's word is conditional on it being a provision. And the way you walk in a provision is you have a vision for it. See, provision always follows vision. See, so we look at our lives now, and I text this long text because it just kept flying out of me. God said his word to heal us and deliver us from all of our destructions. By whose stripes you were healed. Jesus, what about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the enemy? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm looking at that text, and my coffee's getting, do you call that brewed if it's an espresso? It's dripping, it's pouring. And I'm looking at my phone, and I thought, man, I got to say this. I got to get these words in my house. So I began to read the text I was about to send my friend. And let me tell you, God's word is alive. Everybody say that. Say it again. Say it like you mean it. God's word's alive, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Man, it is able to accomplish and will never not accomplish what God sent it for. We just have to trust it. But I got to ask you today, what stirs you up? What does? Because if you look at it, 70% of Americans hate their job. Over 50% of Americans' marriages have failed. You know, I did that over 80% of college football coaches through a period of time suffered divorce. And I thought, here's all these guys that focus on winning in this certain area, and it's hard for them to translate it to the real areas of life. See, we live our lives, it seems like we live our lives in microcosms. We live our lives in these compartments of life where we've got to look at it that what we have to have is we have to understand. Have an understanding of what stirs us up. See, I don't do what I do for the money. I really don't. I really honestly don't. I do it because I love it. For real. If you said, okay, you're going to make 10% of what you made last year, this year, it wouldn't affect anything I did. I can honestly say that to you. See, I think too many times we base what we do or we base our life on what kind of income we can derive from it. And then we wonder why 70% of people hate what they do because there's no passion in it that doesn't stir them up. I'm stirred up about this every single day. I'll tell you what, I would do this. I would do this right here every single day. You'd say, what's your dream church? My dream church is church every day for somebody. And you'll say, well, wait a second. Man, we have a life. Oh, really? How's that working out for people? No, for real. How many of you guys have been out of church for a little while ever in your life? There's a period of time. How'd that go for you? Alan, how'd that go for you? How'd it work? I could do this on my own. And then you realize you're like, oh, dear God, they're starting to cover. I'm in a 10-foot hole and they're covering me up. See, we've got to understand this, that our passion, really honestly, an understanding of the passion of our life comes from this. The stirring in our life comes from this. Man, I'm stirred up. Man, I'm telling you, everything about this. And it's funny because there's so many problems in church. And then I realized everything God's created brings solution. See, so we're solutionists. Is that a word? Write it down. We're solutionists. It's hard if you have a lisp to say that word, okay? But we are. We're here to bring a solution. We're problem solvers. That's what the word does. It solves problems. Man, I'll tell you what. If you got a plumbing issue in your house, you call a plumber. Why? Because he's got the solution. He's going to solve the problem. Well, that's what church is designed to do for life. But there needs to be a kingdom connection in our lives. See, the way God does things has to be connected, hardwired to our life. See, I think too often this, the church and God's promise and God's word is so portable in our life. It's plug in, unplug. It's transient, and it's like, no, you know what, man? The Bible is very clear in Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God, and even in old age will be fresh and flourishing. See, but. I think we've got to get real with this. I think we've got to understand that God has a plan. God has an assignment for your life. He does. There's a kingdom assignment upon our lives. And I think it starts with what stirs you up, what gets your motor running. Man, the Pepins, who are elders here, are doing a disciple. A top-tier discipleship program with our kids now. It's the second week they're doing it. I met them before church, and they're so excited about it. And I'm thinking, and they're talking about these kids taking notes, and they didn't even ask them to. They're talking about these kids ministering to each other and praying for each other. These are elementary school kids, and I'm just thinking, oh, my gosh. I'm so glad somebody has a passion for that. I'm so glad that somebody has a stirring for that. Because let me tell you, the benefits, like if you have elementary age kids, you want them in that, I don't even know if it's a program. What is it? It's something. Hi, Sandy. You good? Everybody say hi to Sandy. You want to stand up and say hi to everybody, Sandy? Why does this, it's been over 27 years of me doing this. And she still goes, stop it. Why do you do this? Just look at Sandy and say, he can't stop. Okay, do you understand that? Let me bring a Bible character in for you. Okay, Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, right? But you have to understand that he wept when he saw the city in ruins. He wasn't a contractor. He wasn't a wall builder. He wasn't. He wasn't in construction. He just saw the city in ruins, and the Bible said he wept because he saw the city in ruins. In Jeremiah 1:5, God says, look, I knew you before your mother's womb. I formed you. I fashioned you. Man, God knew us. And everything God's made solves problems. That's who we are. We're here to solve problems. And let me tell you, the people problem, man, business should be incredible for Christians today because the problems are up here. It's high-level problems, and we serve a high... Are you guys here today? We serve a high-level God. And the whole idea is what we need, we have. Write that down. Everything you need, you have. The Bible says this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So everything you need is already here. Man, everything. And we have to understand that. We've got to be the people that understand that what God's doing is he's using his people to solve problems. Do you get that? And that's what we've got to understand. So what are you passionate about? What touches your heart? What stirs you? What gets your motor running? Man, what would you, if you just thought this, if I could just do this, if I could solve this problem. See, I think that's what's important. In Psalm 65, turn there if you can. Psalm 65. I'll tell you what's interesting is I had a buddy that sends me a text, a pastor, every Sunday morning, and I'm probably on a list, but, you know, I'm still appreciative. But the text finished up with a verse that's a cornerstone of this message today. And I just thought, oh, that's cool. So I texted him. I said, you know, that's what I'm preaching about today. He said, oh, my gosh, I'm going to listen to that. And see, this idea, something's going to start stirring in your life just from this message. Do you hear me on this? See, that's what you have to say. So Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man you choose. Okay, stop right there. You are chosen. That's why you're here. Just do the math. Don't make it super complex. You're here because God picked you. Okay, he chose you. So blessed is the man. So you'll say, if I ask you, are you blessed? You'll say, well, yeah, God chose me. And caused to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Verse 5, but know that by awesome deeds and righteousness, you will answer us, O God of our salvation. You are the confidence of all the needs of the earth and of the far-off seas, who established the mountains by his strength, being clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the peoples. Listen, it just keeps building. They also who dwell in the farthest parts are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and the evenings rejoice. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. Now listen. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. You water its ridges abundantly. Now listen. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. Now listen. God blesses your growth. Are you growing? Yes, you have to be growing because God blesses your growth. Now listen to verse 11. You crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. Man, here we're in a new year. Let's take this verse. God crowns this year. God blesses it. Man, he puts the world on notice that the whole idea of what God's doing is that our paths then, listen, drip with abundance. Man, how does he crown our year? With goodness, with godliness, with his provision, with his promise. Is the math working out for you here? See, you have to understand this, that he crowns our year with goodness, not just our day, not just this meeting, not just the next thing you do, but everything you put your hand to. See, he crowns it. And see, we've got to understand that. And your paths drip with abundance. It's saturated. See, you've got to take the limits the things that have been limiting you, and you've got to redefine all of that and not let your limits define you. See, we've got to be those people that understand, wait a second, wherever I go, everywhere the sole of my foot lands, I take possession of it. Why? Because my path drips with abundance. See, it's like after it rains, my little grandson, he can't stay out of a puddle. So I just want to tell Taylor and Cassie, just put rubber boots on him. Quit telling him to get out of those puddles. But listen, that's what our life is like. Our life is like that two-year-old that goes out of his way to splash in that puddle. Why? Because our paths drip with abundance. See, it's that childlike faith that God's already given us. See, that's why faith is so awkward for most intelligent people. Most high-level people, it's like, it's hard for me to trust God. Yeah, because it's childlike. It's a child. Man, I'm trusting, but I have never experienced this before. I've never had this before, but I'm still going to trust it. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says, don't you know that those who run in a race, they all run, but one receives the prize. Now listen to this, underline this, highlight this. Run in such a way that you might obtain it. Man, it's real easy. The Guts translation of that today is run to win. And how do you run to win? Let me tell you how simple this is, okay? If Jeremy is debt in my life, and Jeremy wants to do, debt doesn't want to run alongside of you. Debt wants to run in front of you. So that debt's running in front of me. So everything in my life, all I'm seeing is debt, debt, debt. I can try to look, but the bottom line is this debt is so real because it's in front of me. So in order for me to defeat debt, in order for me to defeat it, I've got to get out in front of it. See, that debt's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. Sickness and disease is always going to be there. But what we've got to do is we've got to get out in front of it. Now it's not the center of attention. Now it's not in my vision. So now when I see a clear path, when I see a life without sickness, a life without disease, a life without death, even though it's still there, it's not in my vision. It doesn't have that power in my life anymore. Man, some of you guys will think, well, I'm just not promotable. You got to get that thought out from in front of you. Well, I'm just not good at school. You've got to get that thought out from in front of you. Well, it's hard for me. My husband's an idiot. You got to get that thought. Here's what the Bible says. Think on these things. You're never going to get it. Think on these things. That's what you've got to put out in front of you. And in verse 25, Paul writes, it says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Man, we're not sliding from one extreme to the other, man. We're staying strong right down the middle of the path. I've got margins in my life. Why? Because God will widen the path beneath my feet so they don't slip. They do it. See, people in the world do it to obtain a perishable crown, a bonus, a promotion. That's all perishable. Trophy. But we do it for an imperishable crown. See, that's something that it's hard for people to wrap their mind around, not working for money. Not hustling for gain. See, I work for purpose. Because the Bible already promises. See, my job is not my source. My God is my source. And you'll say, well, I've heard that. Have you ever said that? Has that ever come out of your mouth? You've heard me say it if you've been here for a while. You've heard other people say it. If you've sat and visited with Pastor Sandy, you've heard her say it. But has it ever come out of your mouth? My job's not my source. God's my source. Paul said, therefore, here's how I run. This is what I love. He's like, look, you think you're going to outrun me? Think again. This is how I run. Not with uncertainty. Meaning, can we just pause and sit just for a second on this uncertainty? I think with most Christians, there's a high level of uncertainty of what God's word promises. So if there's that uncertainty in your life, you're like, okay, wait a second. I'm going to trust God to heal me. Okay, why? Why? Well, I know God's a good God. Is God the healer? Oh, absolutely. What about you right here and right now? Well, God's going to heal me. God, send your healing. Do you understand? That's not faith. Faith calls those things which be not as though they were. We believe and therefore speak. Not because we see it. Not because we feel it. Not because the diagnosis says it, not because the labs have it, not because the reports show it. It's because God's word's promised it. That's it. Everything else has to become irrelevant. So when that begins, see, it's taking shape in my life now. I'm telling you, when I got up here early, how many of you guys heard me take authority over anxiety? Anybody in here? You know why? The Bible says be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanks. So what we did was, man, we came against anxiety, and then we're just thankful and grateful. You are not going to be able to be grateful and anxious at the same time. Stop acting like this is a difficult scenario. You got to pick one. You got to pick gratitude or depression. You can't do both. Just pick one. And yeah, but man, tomorrow's coming. Yeah, pick gratitude tomorrow then. Pick gratitude in 10 minutes. You go outside and your car doesn't start, pick gratitude. I'm not kidding. All that stuff's going to happen. Most of the things that people around us get depressed about are first world problems. They have clean drinking water. They have food in abundance. Yeah, but I don't get to eat any cupcakes. We don't want to be a church full of cupcakes anyway. When do we ever get to a place where we can harden ourselves to difficulties? Paul said, I don't run with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not dancing. It's not rope-a-dope. But I discipline my body, and I bring it into subjection. I'll tell you, I train with Jaime at the Phoenix gym. And it's not all the creature comforts. I asked someone, I said, well, why don't you just go to Jaime's gym? And they said, well, there's no air conditioning. And I thought, that's why I'm going. I'm going because I'm putting my feeling, I'm putting my body under subjection. And the bottom line, it isn't, it's just about me mentally. That's all it is. The physical part of it is almost immaterial. See, the things in my life that I begin to value now at the age that I'm at are the things I have to make myself do. Unless, Paul said, unless I myself should become disqualified. Man, what does this fast do? It puts our body in subject. It doesn't, man, our appetite doesn't get the lead. I ate a cauliflower crust pizza. No cheese, no meat, cauliflower. And I thought, you put the tomato sauce on it, you're like, it tastes pretty good. And then the last bite I ate tasted like cauliflower. And you know what? For me, honestly, I just have to get up in my life. The way I live my life here is the way I live my life.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.